Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to look at the first three verses of the prologue to John's Gospel. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Listen to God's holy and inspired word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, tonight, Lord, we pray for two things in particular. We pray, Lord, that as your word is preached and heard, that you would be pleased. And secondly, we pray that as we consider your Son, that by your Spirit you would exalt him and that we would delight in him in our minds and in our hearts. We pray these things asking for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's a question that I think should pique the interest of every single human being, and it's this: who is Jesus? It's a question that should interest even the most ardent atheist. After all, Jesus has had more impact on this world than any other person. We define the date by the year that he was born. Millions and millions of people have followed Christ. Millions and millions have suffered and died for Christ. Lives have been transformed by Christ. Empires have been transformed by Christ. I think of the Roman Empire when Constantine became a Christian. Or Europe when Martin Luther rediscovered Jesus. I think that this question, who is Jesus, should fascinate even the most ardent atheist. But for us here tonight who are Christians, this is the king of questions, isn't it? Who is Jesus? We live for him. We rest in him. We confide in him. We give him our money and our time. He undergirds our morals. He undergirds our worldview. He is the overriding facet of our identity. Am I a father? Am I a husband? Am I a pastor? Am I a Scot? Yes, I'm all these things. But more than all of that, I am Christ's. Paul says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. If we believe that, and if that is true for us, and I hope that is true for us, then we need to know who he is. Who is Jesus? Well, that's the purpose of the Gospel of John. That's why John wrote this Gospel. He wants us to know who Jesus is and that by believing in him, we would have life in his name. And so this evening, we're simply going to look at the first three verses as we consider four things about Jesus Christ as we seek to begin to answer this question: who is the one that we love? Who is Jesus? So first of all then, Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. There was a beginning. And behind the beginning and before the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus. And in chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus claims this very thing, that he shared the glory of the Father even before the world came into existence. As one man put it, in the beginning there was someone who had no beginning. On the line of history, if history begins at point A with the creation of the world and ends at point B when Christ comes and wraps things up, Jesus is not on the line. He created the line. He upholds the line. He directs the line. He even visited the line. But he's not subject to the line. He's not bound by the line. He precedes the line. He transcends the line. Before the world began, Jesus was already there. He wasn't created. He is eternally begotten. Now let's think about St. Nick for a second. I'm ashamed to say it. I was coerced, I'd like to say, but slightly enjoyed going to visit Santa this year with the kids. And who is this Santa? Who is this jolly fat man who promotes materialism? Well, at the Council of Nicaea in 325, there were followers of a chap called Arius who came along and tried to undermine Jesus. They said Jesus was just a created being. He might be a God, but he's not the eternal God. Jesus had a beginning, they said. And Santa comes along, Nicholas of Myra, and the other early church fathers, and they weren't laughing with shaken bellies like bowl full of jelly. Jesus is eternal God, they said. He is eternal. And I say to you this evening, don't let the Russellites, and I call them Russellites, they like to call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, but they've never witnessed God and they don't know God. Don't let the Russellites tell you that Jesus is a created being. He is from everlasting to everlasting. I've been thinking this last week about Handel's Messiah. I've been listening to it. I love those words, and he shall reign forever and ever. But don't think when you listen to those words that it's some sort of future reign, like he will reign in the future forever and ever. That's true. But he reigns now. And he has reigned from eternity because he had no beginning. He didn't begin to reign. Because he transcends the line, he transcends time, and he transcends space. He is eternal. You know, we can get so bogged down in our point in history. And one of the things that frustrates me is when I hear people talking about our point in our phase of history as if it's like uncharted territory. It's like as if we've never had corrupt governments and officials and disease and sexual deviancy and all the rest of it. And we can subconsciously let the social and political landscape threaten our reliance upon and rest in Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you this evening that Jesus isn't just a man from 2,000 years ago. And Jesus even isn't just a man who spans the age of the earth. Jesus is forever and ever. He never began. He has lived and he has reigned forever. And you remember that. When you get bogged down and disheartened with everything going on and with everything in your lives, remember that Jesus, the one we love, is eternal. He is before the beginning. Genesis 1, we read, in the beginning, God. And it's understood there that God is before the beginning. And John, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and we understand that our Savior preceded the beginning. He had no beginning. And don't let him get sucked down. We love the incarnation, but don't divorce the incarnation from the eternality of the transcendent Son of God who has reigned and who reigns forever. Jesus is eternal. Secondly, Jesus was with God. Look again at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, the idea in this preposition is towards God. He was towards God. Some translations even translate it face to face with God. Verse 18 gives a little more light. It talks about him being at the Father's side. Now, Muslims accuse Christians of being polytheists. That is not true. Brothers and sisters, we believe in one God. Not two gods, not three gods. There is one God. And yet here, we see that our one God is more than one person. Jesus is not the Father. And yet he has this ineffable union with the Father. Jesus can even say that I am in the Father and the Father in me. He can say I and the Father are one. He can say that he who has seen me has seen the Father. We have one God, and yet he is three persons. And these three persons are the same in substance. They are distinct, and yet they are undivided. There are glorious and practical implications for this doctrine, which I'm not going to go into tonight. If you haven't read Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves, then read it, please. But tonight it's enough to recognize that Jesus is not the Father, but he has been with the Father from eternity. Jesus is eternal. Jesus was with God. Thirdly, Jesus is God. Look again at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now there's a reason in the Greek why we translate it, and the Word was God. But when you're actually looking at the sentence in Greek, it's, and God was the Word. The Word was God. And God was the Word. Jesus is not created. Jesus is not a lesser being. Jesus is not some Superman. He is the same substance as the Father. He is one being with the Father. He is very God of very God. There is no God in heaven that is unlike Jesus. When we contemplate Jesus, we contemplate God. And when we contemplate God, we contemplate Jesus. And you may be here this evening and you're asking the question, who is God? What is God like? Rob, give me an understanding of who God is. My answer to you is, look at Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is the revelation of God. That's what he's referred to as the Logos, the words. But he isn't just an emanation of God. He doesn't just make known to us the love and grace and power and glory of God. He doesn't just tell us about God. He is God. Do you want to know what God is like? Creation can tell you something. When we hear the thunder, we think of the power of God. When we see the waves come in and out, we think of the eternality of God. When we see the beauty of God's creation, we see something of his splendor and his creativity, but that's not enough. I want to know more about his nature. Tell me about his character. What are his purposes in creation? Verse 18 tells us, no one has ever seen God, the only God, Jesus, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Jesus is God. He is the exact imprint of God's nature. Don't let the Muslims tell you that he's just a prophet. Don't let the Arians tell you that he's just a mere facilitator of your salvation. Don't let the Russellites try to strip his deity from him. Listen to St. Nick and to the other fathers and to the Bible. Jesus is God. The Word was God. And this weaves through chapter after chapter of the Gospel of John. When we see Jesus have the attributes of God, he's omnipotent, for example. When we see him raise Lazarus from the dead or calm the storms. We see in John he has the names of God. He does the works of God. As we'll see in a moment, he created all things. He's worshipped as God. He claimed in chapter 5 to be equal with the Father. And on it goes. And it's driving us towards this climax in chapter 20 when Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Literally, my Lord and the God of me. When we see him, we see God. And when we think of God, we think of him. Jesus Christ is God. He is the infinite, immutable, immense, incomprehensible, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, holy, infinitely wise, all-sufficient, independent, transcendent, perfect, sovereign, creator God. Jesus is God. Jesus is eternal. Jesus was with God. Jesus is God. And fourthly, Jesus created all things. Look again at verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How did this world come into existence? Why did this world come into existence? Humanity has groped in the darkness. I think of Stephen Hawking, who poured his life into seeking to answer these very questions. How did we come into existence? Why did we come into existence? And he died, what was it, 2 years ago? Still no closer to the answer. You could ask Richard Dawkins and everyone else, they won't tell you the answer. They don't know the answer. But the Bible has the answer. By him, that's Jesus, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. All things were created through him, and all things were created for him. That's the why. And some say we're here because we evolved over time. That's nonsense. I've been off Facebook for a couple of months now, but I logged back on, I reactivated my account just to find this quote for you this evening that my friend posted. Speaking of evolution, he says this, take your car apart piece by piece. Put it all in a giant cement mixer and spin the mixer until a fully functioning car pops back out. That right there, in a nutshell, is the theory of evolution. Except that under the theory of evolution, you don't have to explain where the original car, the mixer, or the energy to run it came from. Evolution is nonsense. Some say there was a big bang. That doesn't say anything. What banged when the big bang banged? Where did that come from? We just have to have a glimpse at creation. It says that's absolute nonsense. Look at the human body. You Google it just like I did. The average human has anywhere from 60,000 to 100,000 miles of blood vessels in his body. That can stretch around the world between 3 and 4 times if you lay it out side by side. Your nose can detect 1 trillion smells. Your eyes have over 2 million working parts. Your brain contains 100 billion neurons and sends them at signals of 200 miles per hour, and on it goes. I don't need to list all of those facts. I just need to look at the face of my daughter, Gwyneth. Don't tell me that that came from a big bang. No, Jesus is the unmade maker. Jesus laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. Jesus created it all, everything visible and invisible. The laws of gravity, the atoms and the molecules, the majestic lion to the minuscule insect. He spoke it all into being. Yes, Jesus is our Savior. But do not forget that He is your Creator. It's His world. It's His handiwork. I hope this permeates your thinking. I hope you don't think that you come on a Sunday to worship Jesus and then, you know, the rest of the week you just go back to the real world. This is Christ's world. If you're a Christian here this evening, remember that you see things as they ought to be seen. Like the hymn writer said, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. We don't have Christless eyes. Christless eyes don't see this creation as it's supposed to be seen. But we do. We know that, as John Calvin put it, God places himself in our view that we cannot open our eyes without being compelled to behold him. Our experience of creation is wonderful. Our experience of creation is different from the Christless eyes because we know it's Christ's. We know that he made it. We know that it points to him, and we know that he wants us to enjoy it. We have a right understanding. So everything's different. In 6 days' time, I will have been in America for 4 full years. And even now, I'm still noticing all the subtle differences. America's different. The accents are different. The dress is different. The houses are different. They're better over here. The mentality is different. The whole feel of it is different. That's our experience. Of all of creation, it's different. Because we don't have Christless eyes. We know it's Christ's creation, and we behold him in it. Jesus is eternal. Jesus was with God. Jesus is God. And Jesus created all things. Simply skimming, not even that, skimming the first three verses of the Gospel of John, but as you look through this Gospel, it's driving us to this climax. And Thomas says, "My Lord and the God of me." John wants you to know him. He doesn't want you to know, first and foremost, of a worldview, although he does. And he doesn't want you to know, first and foremost, a system of doctrine, although he does. He wants you to know him. That you would fear Christ. That you would enjoy Christ. That you might believe in Christ, the Son of God, and have life in his name. And I said to you this evening, swell your thoughts of Jesus Christ. Fill your minds with Christ. Fill your hearts with Christ. Taste something of his glory. Or sometimes I can close my eyes and it's like I can transport myself to this place that I used to love back home in Wales called Southern Down. And I can still, it's just like I'm there. I can so vividly remember walking along these cliffs with the sea glimmering in the sun and just pretend there was some sun in Wales. And this breeze on my face and the smell and seeing the wild flowers and the sheep, of course, grazing. The clouds drifting and, you know, you can close your eyes and you can think, this is bigger than me. This is glorious. Jesus Christ is glorious. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory. He is the eternal Creator God, very God of very God. And I say to you tonight, taste him. Think on him. Live with him. Enjoy him. Look to him. Was it McShane that said, for every look at yourself, you could add to that every look at your children, every look at everything that's going on out there, every look at your work schedule, your academic studies, every look at yourself. Take 10 looks at Jesus Christ and say with Thomas, my Lord and the God of me. Amen. Let's pray. Our Savior, very God of very God, our eternal Creator God, we love you. And we rest in and rejoice in you, our Savior and our Creator, and we love you and we will love you forever and ever and ever. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, as the days unfold and the weeks unfold in this short time on earth that we have until we see you face to face, they would come to know you and see you and love you more and more. How we rejoice in you tonight, our eternal God. Amen. Well, would you please stand for the benediction? Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.